Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
No worries. Thank you so much for chatting to us. Now, the Ethically Aligned Design Report states that all technologies should be guided by five general principles. What are these principles, and why has the design report chosen these principles?
Well, the committee thought that these principles were the core of all the issues and the challenges that we have found in different systems. So the first principle is about respecting human rights. It's an essential requirement for any ethically designed system to respect human rights. And that sometimes can be more complicated than it sounds, not from big data to robots, autonomous weapons, and so on, require that people think about what does it mean to have human rights. The second one has to do with well-being. All computer systems, all technologies should be designed to support our psychological well-being. I mean, the keyboard you're touching, the chair you're sitting on, has been ergonomically designed to support your physical health. So the committee understands that every technology, every digital technology and robots has to be designed to respect our psychological health, has to support our well-being. The third one is accountability. So if something goes wrong, someone has to be responsible for it. Now, it could be the developer, the builder, the manufacturer of the robot or the intelligent system, or the person who is selling you the service. So there has to be some responsibility behind the service you're getting. Then there has to be transparency. That's the fourth principle. So there has to be a trail left behind. So if the robot or the AI system makes a mistake, for example, has a bias towards some group or another, there has to be evidence of how that decision was made. And finally, there has to be a switch off, a way of turning off the device, the robot, or the system if it goes really wrong. Some of these systems can become dangerous. They can have a very big impact on society. So there has to be a way for us to say, no, that cannot happen. So legally we turn it off, or tell the company to turn it off, or replace it for something else. So those are five principles that cover most of the challenges that we found. And we found over 100 challenges.
Wow.
Clear challenges.
That's a lot of challenges. And they all sound very very important and very necessary. So I think they're all very spot on. A section of the report does recommend we best understand the technological systems we've invented before we introduce it to the wider public. But is this plausible? Because can we keep up with the fast-paced and global scale of technological development?
It's a very good question. I mean, it's really, really hard. And that's why we seek principles that can be applied to technologies that we don't yet have. So once you design or come up with principles that have been agreed by the community, you can use those principles to make decisions about a system being ethical or not ethical. So that's the reason of having principles that you can apply in many contexts, because the contexts just keep changing pretty much daily. So it's very hard to keep up. And what we want to do in the IEEE, the IEEE is the largest technical professional association. It has over 450,000 members across the world, not every single country in the world. So what we need to do is have tools that engineers around the world can use to inform their work. Every engineer, or at least most engineers, are trying to improve the world, right? But sometimes it's hard to say what is the right thing to do. So these guidelines will inform those decisions.
I guess they stick to their name. They are guidelines. They will guide us through making the right decisions, hopefully, when creating these new technologies. Now, what new measures, jobs, or branches do you believe will emerge to combat the negative effects of technology on society? So, for example, the area of effective computing and the reduction in social skills among children as a result of those who replace real interaction with computer systems, such as Siri. So what do you believe will emerge to combat those?
Well, there will be many jobs. I think you're asking about jobs that will appear from these new technologies. I think a lot of jobs of very interdisciplinary nature that we don't have right now will become very common. So you will have jobs like in affective computing, systems that detect emotions. You will have people that have psychology expertise and have an understanding about the sociological impact of these things. We'll have an understanding about ethics, and obviously they will need to understand the technology. You know, how do you build a computer system that can recognize people's emotions, let's say, from their facial expressions? You will have engineers who need to incorporate this into, let's say, a TV set that has a camera, right? The smart TVs that we have today already come with a camera, and technically it will be very possible for them to recognize your emotional state. You know, the camera, it's on, looks at your face, you're smiling or you're crying and so on, and it can tell the state you're in. So we expect, for example, that the next generation of content will be very interactive. So it will be possible that you're watching a movie, and then you will have advertisement that is customized based on what the system thinks you're feeling.
Yeah, right.
And what is ethical in that context? That's a very tricky question.
Yeah, it's a bit, you could say it's a bit invasive, a bit daunting, but also necessary at the same time.
Totally, totally. And I think what is essential in that type of systems is for the person, the user, the people that are, for example, in front of the TV, to give approval for whatever the equipment is doing, huh? And acknowledge. They say, yes, I accept that the TV will recognize my emotions, for example, and adapt the content based on this. And that's sometimes tricky, you know, because people don't understand technologies well enough, so they don't understand the potential of these tools.
Yeah, digital literacy is definitely going to be something that will grow in the coming years. Now, there is an emphasis to separate technologists from their work and align them with the impact on society at large. Are you optimistic about a collaborative future between technology innovators and members of society? What are going to be the challenges of that?
Yes, totally. I think we are going to see increasing collaboration. So, for example, this report from the IEEE, people who are interested on the topic can go to the IEEE website and we'll be able to provide feedback. So in the first iteration, the feedback was, for example, it was too American-centric. So IEEE went out and found people from other countries, other cultures. We have a very gender diverse group, very culturally diverse group. So the idea there is to also not bring only professionals, but also members of the public who can inform the process, who can give their own ideas about what is an ethical system. And that has to do with what we think is a good life. Ethical systems at the bottom, the essence of it is, how do we think technology can improve our lives? Traditional engineers think it's about increasing productivity. The good life goes far beyond that. It has to do with how we relate to others, how we feel a sense of autonomy or not, and how we feel competent in the world we move in. So we are trying to bring all these things from the public and the experts.
It's very challenging. What does, I guess as a final question to sum it up, what does this report in particular hope to achieve? Or what are the next steps we need to take to best secure our inevitable technological future?
Well, from the perspective of the professionals, it's increasing awareness within the engineering community about the impact of the technologies we build. We still have engineers who think that the tools they make do not have values. The number of engineers who recognize that the systems have the values of the people who build them is increasing. But there are still many engineers that feel that what they build doesn't have to worry too much about ethics. So that's the first aspect, is changing our profession. But the second one, I think, is about increasing awareness in the public, because these discussions, like the one we're having right now, help people understand that they can also make choices. They can make choices about the technologies they buy. And when we buy products that are more ethical or more aligned to what we think will promote well-being, then the companies that build them will change. They will start building products that are more ethically designed, products that are supporting our definitions of well-being. And that's part of the discussions we need to have as a society.
Definitely. It's definitely going to be a very interesting 10, 20, 30 years as technology really takes a grasp of our society. Thank you so much, Professor, for joining us this morning.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.